We're in Psalms 119, and we're on the Yod today. That starts in verse 73. And Yod is the shortest of the Hebrew words. But this word is the tenth word in here. And y'all know in numbers, 10, like in a computer system, everything's ones and zeros. It's binaries. And by those numbers, everything works off ones and zeros in a computer. Well, it's the same word, way, in this Hebrew word, Yod. All the alphabet, the Hebrew letters, the 22 letters, are tied into this word Yod. And we'll begin to read here. It says, you know, when I began to read this, I just seen the Holy Spirit all in it. And then I read it again and studied on it, and I seen the Lord Jesus. And then I read it again and I seen the Father. But within all this, you know, there's three. And let's just say three in one. Mm-hmm. And that's who we serve, a God that's
three in one. Come on, that's the trend. Come on.
That's holy.
Okay.
And guess what it's good for?
That represent, yep.
It lubricates, cleans and polishes, and prevents rust and tarnish.
Come on, Bob don't have a day on.
So, y'all know the
that's
Lord
a great description.
But it says, yeah. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me.
Amen.
Think about that one. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible declares that the Holy Spirit made us in our mama's womb.
Didn't? Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, he did. You know, if you got a poor self-esteem or anything, you know, anything along that line, something about that. The Lord formed me and made me and knitted me in my mama's womb. Mm-hmm. It says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commands. Mm-hmm. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Mm-hmm. Who's that speaking of?
Our Lord
Jesus Christ.
Our Lord.
Because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that's capital L-O-R-D, so that's talking of the Father. Mm-hmm. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thy unfaithfulness has afflicted me. You know, how many of y'all know the Lord Jesus? He come and he judged sin, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And he did it because the Father told him to, right?
That's right.
Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word and to thy servant.
Yes.
Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Mm. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I'll meditate in thy precepts. Remember we said precepts was the instructions of the Lord. Last week we talked about the commands, but let those that fear thee turn into me, that's turn into the Lord, and those that know thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Mm. You know, this arm here, go back to the arm of the Lord, this arm here, in the Hebrew, it's a arm with a clenched fist held up, and that's a arm that's at work.
Yes.
You know, it's not an open hand, it's an arm at work. And the Holy Spirit, how many of y'all know he's working in us?
Yes. Amen.
He's did his great work in creation, and he's at work in us. But this Yod, this 10, I mean, y'all know all through scriptures we see 10. Mm-hmm. 10 commandments, 10 virgins, 10 plagues. Mm-hmm. But all through scriptures, just 10, 10, 10, 10. And all this is in the wisdom of God. Mm-hmm. But last week we said that the commands of God, according to Proverbs, the wisdom of God is within the commands of God. You know, and we said that the Lord Jesus, you know, he put the big ten into two. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. You know, serve him with everything you got, and what? Love your neighbor as yourself." Well, I want to talk about a precept today, an instruction. What instruction would parallel with that command? And I believe it's what Sister Mary said this morning. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." That's the Father. Mm-hmm. "Seek first the Lord and his righteousness." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And what Ray was talking about, the Holy Spirit, and everything's added into you through the Holy Spirit. Everything you'll ever need in life comes through the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
So, but this word is powerful. I mean, it's so perfect.
Yes.
This word is so perfect. You know, Brother Thurston, he was just showing when the Lord showed some things I want you to know about. But this morning, you know, Sister Mary was talking about loving the Lord and fellowshipping with him. Mm-hmm. And on my way to church this morning, I was praying in the Holy Spirit there. And the Lord just began to speak to my heart, man. Mm-hmm. And he just, you know, showed me some things to come today. Mm-hmm. And he told me, I want to share with this. He said that he would show himself as Almighty God today.
Woo, glory.
And I was thinking to myself, I said, "How you going to do that?" And he said, "I hold the people's hearts in my hands."
Yes.
So whatever comes forth today, you know, I believe that word from the Lord.
Amen.
Then, you know, on the way here, I was telling him, you know, "I love you, Lord." Mm-hmm. And he was telling me that same thing back. I love you. That's what you see in there this morning. This very day, that we know the love of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's a two-way street, ain't it?
Amen.
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 And Jesus said, you know, "Those that love me will keep my commands."
Oh, yeah. Right.
Ain't that what
right.
I said?
Yes.
You know, for some reason today, we just think, well, the commands are in the garbage can. No, they ain't.
No, they ain't.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at the end of Revelation to prove that. Mm-hmm. You know, these final words of Jesus, ain't they? Let's go to about the last chapter there.
That's what God showed me.
And 22:14.
Here it is.
"Blessed are they that do his commands, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates of the city. For without are dog sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright of the morning star." And then he ends up, "Surely I am quicker." You know, I believe the Lord is, and my Brother Thurston, I truly believe his return is very soon.
Amen.
And he's getting his bride ready.
Glory.
That's what he
says. Let the bride say, "Come." Hallelujah.
And I think we're at that point of saying, "Come, Lord, we want to see you." And I put my stuff up. Just for me. But I'm going to ask Brother Charles to pray first. You know, I love hearing Brother Charles pray. And you know, God loves hearing men to pray.
Amen.
And women
have
to pray too. But something about God, he loves to hear a man pray.
Amen.
Charles, thank you,
God.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for this word that we've already heard.
Yes.
We know that it is a word.
Yes,
Father, open our eyes to see and understand the more that you have to reveal to us.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Father, we ask it in Jesus' name.
Ooh,
amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Everything follows after his own time.
Yeah.
We are he. Glory to God.
Glory.
Amen.
As we continue,
Lord, you're Almighty God. Hallelujah.
Let's just take a minute and just praise him together. Thank you. You're Almighty God.
Shaka
ya ya ya.
Jesus. Jesus. You're Almighty.
Almighty God.
Almighty. Hallelujah.
Have your way, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Have your way.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
With Habashandia, we're still talking about the greater glory. We've been talking about it in many different dimensions. This is where God has the church now. He's trying to move them into the greater glory. So we can do greater things. Without the greater glory, we can't do greater things. Now, we know the glory of God is the manifested presence of God. You know, we have what we call the presence of God. The omnipresence, where he's everywhere. David said it this way. He said, where can I go from the presence of God?
Nowhere.
He said, if I go here, if I go there, he's there. There's nowhere I can go that the presence. That's the omnipresence of God. But then there's an indwelling presence of God that the believers have. The indwelling. But then there's the manifested presence.
Hallelujah.
Where the angels, he don't send the angel himself. Manifest himself. His presence. And that's what the church is pulling for right now.
Yes, hallelujah.
That the presence of God, and we don't want no substitute.
Nobody.
I don't want no smoke and all this. The smoke and the glory come from God.
Ooh, hallelujah, amen.
We don't want no substitute.
Amen.
This generation been passed on substitutes.
Yes.
But we don't want any substitute. We want the true glory of God. And last week, we revisit 2nd chapter of Corinthians, 3rd and 18th verse. We won't revisit it today in the way that we did last week. It says, but with all open face. And we found out how you get your open face when you come to the Lord. He opened up your face. He gives you that ability that you can have a personal relationship.
Woo,
a close-up face personal relationship. And 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all, that means that it's not just for the ministers. It's not for the fivefold. He's inviting all of his children into this close presence. You know, sometimes we look at a mighty man or look at Eli, a mighty man. But God, but here he's inviting all of us.
Yes, amen.
To this close face, personal, 101. Close personal, hallelujah, with him.
Yes,
but you have to do something. It just don't come automatic.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Now, this is what he said you have to do. I said I wasn't going to go there, but I'm led by the Holy Spirit. So y'all work with me. Y'all track with me because I'm tracking with the Holy Spirit. He's the teacher this morning.
Amen.
Welcome, Holy Spirit.
But we are with open face, beholding as in a glass. And some of them it says mirror. The glory of the Lord. Now, we've got to do the beholding.
Yes, amen.
Huh?
All right. Yes, amen.
He's going to, he gives us the easy part.
Yes, we didn't have to write it, did we?
The beholding.
Whoop.
All you have to do is behold. Hold him. Get in that word. The word is like a mirror.
Yes, it is, sister.
It'll give you revelation if The end of this verse said it's done by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
If you stay that long enough, the Holy Spirit going to give you, from that mirror, he's going to give you revelation of the glory of God. We need a revelation of the glory of God. We got to know that the substitutes won't do.
Amen.
We need a true thing of the glory of God because we got souls to be saved. Now, the reason he's filling you up with all this glory, that he said, when you look at him and reflect it from the mirror, you're changed.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Huh? You are changed from glory to glory to glory.
Because you get faith
out of it too. Well, see, we're changed from faith to faith. I was going to teach on that next week.
Okay.
That it takes faith to go from glory to glory.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. I'm not sorry. I apologize.
Hey, that I like for my students, you know,
yeah.
That, I mean.
Woo, coming attractions. Well, I've got to come next week.
I like it. We're being changed. When you behold. The glory, not beholding your circumstances.
Woo,
sometimes you can look in this word and you say, oh God, you know I need and you know. But behold his glory. Seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the person.
Yes. Yes.
The kingdom of heaven is the place.
Yes.
It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. What he's saying, just get in his presence. Now, the writer here said we can enter in through his word. You can stay there long enough until you reflect a revelation of it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to you.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. You know, when he said, when we read over there in Corinthians, it says we look through a mirror, we look through a glass darkly. That's because them folks ain't sit there long enough to behold, to get the revelation. Because he said, but then face to face.
Amen.
If you behold it long enough, if you continue beholding it, it can't be a one-time beholding.
No way.
We've got to change, people.
Yes.
We got to keep changing from glory to glory until we get to that greater glory.
That's right. Ooh, glory, glory to get.
Now, why we got to change that way? Somebody need deliverance.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
We can't keep substituting. Somebody need true deliverance.
That's right.
Yes. And when we keep changing, y'all came to this class to do nothing but change.
Amen.
If you're here for any reason, get up and walk out.
Yeah.
I'm only teaching students that want to change. Okay?
Amen.
We're changing from where?
Glory.
From glory to glory. From glory to glory. But we have something to do to get that.
Yes, yes.
Behold.
Yes, amen.
Behold the glory of God. When you look in that mirror, behold it. And the Holy Spirit will be the one to see the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to get us. From glory to glory. That's his ministry. That's his work. That's what he wants to do. I don't pray no more. Holy Spirit, please lead and guide us. Please be with us. Because Holy Spirit going to do his job.
Hallelujah.
I pray that we be sensitive. That we be more aware of his spirit. More sensitive. To what he's trying to do. You know, for the ones that wasn't here, but I told the ones that was here what I went through when I wasn't sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It was all about me. I was not feeling up to being where I was. But Holy Spirit had a word for me to do there. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, I want to go home. I want to, you know, I wasn't aware he wanted me to do so. I had to go through a lot of steps for him to open up my eyes. Finally, I said, oh, Holy Spirit, you got something here for me to do. Somebody else had to speak it to me, said, I think they're not letting you go because they really, really want you here.
Amen.
And then the Holy Spirit clicked it to me, you know. He like, Mary, I was trying from day one, but you wouldn't listen.
But you know that little barrier of you, your body, it was under
you know, a light affliction. So it kind of, you know, but that over...
That I would have been sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, even when I asked him, I said, Holy Spirit, I want to be here today. Let me go, you know. And I should have been sensitive enough, more aware of his spirit, that it wasn't just me. You know, sometimes we can just be me.
Yes.
When you just say, Holy Spirit, what do you want?
Yes.
Do you want me to stay or do you want me to go? I'll stay if you want me to stay, because I know you're going to make it possible for me to stay through this. What were you saying, sister?
Because I was thinking, like, when you said that to us last week, because I didn't feel like coming to church.
Uh-huh.
I pressed my way, and I really didn't feel like coming because I did not want to deal with the little ones, because I knew they was going to be, you know, but I pressed my way, and then when Harmony got wrapped up in all that tablecloth, I was like, oh, Lord, this is why, but... At the end of service, I received a great reward.
See, you were blessed.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we have to push through that.
Yes.
Let me tell you what one thing about the body of Christ. The body of Christ said they live in two worlds. Mm-hmm. And you don't really live in two worlds. They think that they like, here's the secular world I got to live in over here, and this is... the church. I have to come to church. You don't come to church. You come to a gathering place. The church comes to the gathering place.
That's glory. That's good, Mary. Good.
But we're not to live in two, in the world, and in what we are to live as ambassadors. What an ambassador, they go to another country, and they don't live like the people in that country.
Right.
They live like where they came from. You're from another world.
Yes.
You've been born from above.
Yes.
And he said, you're already a citizen in heaven.
Right.
You said, but I'm not in heaven. You're citizens in heaven. He said, you're already been made citizens in heaven. And when you try to live in both worlds, you know, it just kind of make it stressful.
Strain. Yeah.
When, like Paul said, whether you're eating or drinking, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God.
Amen.
Do it as you're living in one world.
Mm-hmm.
You can see things different. You can move a little different.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way Jesus operated on this earth. And y'all always saying he's our example.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't live in two worlds. He only lived in one world, the kingdom. He said, I translated you out of the kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, why do you still want to live some times in the kingdom? And you can't split it up. You got to operate out of one kingdom.
Yes, amen.
See, we're here to show the world how the kingdom operates. So they can say, hey, I want to be in that kingdom.
Yes.
You know, when Peter showed the people how the kingdom operates, they said, what must we do to be saved? We want that. We want to live in that realm that you're living in. Okay. We're talking about how the presence of God changes you when you get in the presence of God. We're going to 1 Samuel. The 10th chapter. 1 Samuel in the 10th chapter. And the first verse. Now let me catch you up on what's going on in here in Samuel. The men had came to Samuel and they told Samuel, you know, we need, you're old. They told Samuel, they just straight out told Samuel, you're getting old. And so we need another ruler. So Samuel like, I have my boys. And they said, nope, your boy's not walking after you. Nope, we don't want them. They're not walking after you. So Samuel went to the Lord and prayed about it. So the Lord said, Samuel, just stay calm. They want a king, we'll give them a king.
Yeah.
And this king that I'm speeding it up so I won't go over too much in your time. Okay, this king that they was going to give him was Saul. God chose Saul to be king. Saul was tall. He was taller than any of them. He stood tall, and the Bible described him as a handsome, tall man, taller than any other men's. He looked like a king. The only problem with Saul, he was timid, he was shy, he would hide himself. He just didn't have it on the inside to be a king. I don't know how much we're going to be able to read from the 10th chapter. Well, anyway, Saul's father's donkeys got out. So Saul thought he was out looking for donkeys. But actually, he was about to have a divine appointment with Samuel. He looked and looked for the donkeys, and they couldn't find him. And he met some people that told him, said, you could go down there and ask Samuel anything you want to ask him, and he'll tell you exactly where your donkeys are. So they went, so Saul got an offering and took it to Samuel. He said, Samuel, said, I've lost my donkey. Well, Samuel went on to tell him what. He said, listen, those donkeys that you're looking for, they found. It's not about the donkeys. God is calling you here. You know, a lot of time we think we're going for one thing, but God is calling. I'm going to tell you, God called you here this morning. It ain't about the donkeys. He told him, said, the donkeys are found. They were found. But he began to tell, you know, Saul that he wants him to, God's calling you to be king and all of this. But Saul like, oh, not me, you know. But let's read something out the 10th chapter. It says, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be the captain over his inheritance? Whenever you were, it's not like, you know, the inauguration that we give a president or the king now. You know, in those days, they poured oil. They just took a whole veil of oil and just broke it and just. And that oil represents the spirit of God. Amen. Anointing you. And he anointed him. He poured it out on him. And the second verse says, when they are departed from me, when thou shalt find two men, Rachel's sepulcher in the border of the Benjamin. You know, that was one of the Saul said, I'm a Benjaminite. I'm from that, you know. He began to tell Samuel all of his excuses, why. And he's shy, and he is, he's timid. And they will say unto thee, say, when you get to the border, this is what they're going to say unto you. The asses which thou went to seek are found. And lo, thy father have left the care of the asses and sorrow for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shall thou go on forward from this. You're going to keep going, Saul. And thou shalt come to a plain of Tabor, and thou shalt meet the three men. They're going up. God to Bethel. One going to be carrying three kids. And that's for animal sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And another carrying three loaves of bread. And another carrying a bottle of wine. Can anybody tell me what the wine and the bread is for?
Jesus.
Huh?
Jesus.
I can't hear you. Jesus. I put my glasses on. So what?
Jesus being the bread of life and the wine being the blood.
Okay. Put it together.
Communion.
They're going up to, it's going to be for communion. Samuel is sending Saul into a place where he can be changed.
Yes.
Into the presence of God. Now, he done anointed him.
Mm-hmm.
So here goes Saul. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread which thou receive of their hands. And after that shall come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistine. And it shall come to pass, when they are come hither to the city, that shall meet a company of prophets. Now this is Samuel telling Saul step by step everything that's going to happen before it happened. He's telling you, you know, you're going to do this. You're going to meet these people. And as it took place, I know Saul was saying, okay, all right. Coming down from a high place, there shall meet a company of prophets coming down from a high place with a psaltery and a tabard and pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. I mean, they're coming with all the music instruments and worship, communion, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon.